Good to see you. We have a good crowd this morning, considering that most of our congregation is in Sparta, Illinois this morning, or a lot of them. It is the Grand Chute in Illinois. I have not been, but we've got six of our young people, if I counted correctly, at least six, that will be shooting in the next couple of days in the Grand, and so several of our families have gone, and we hope they have a great trip, and wish them lots of luck as well. It was interesting, a couple of weeks ago, we had a bunch of our congregation in Hilton Head, and I got a text right before service about how many people from Rutherford County were at the Hilton Head Church. As they went, they noticed all kind of folks that we knew, but they've gone to Illinois today, and school will be beginning back soon, and we'll kind of all get back into our routines here before very long. We're going to talk about deacons for a while this morning. Be our lesson today, and I'm sorry that we've got several folks out, but you can download us on podcast. That's at Dave Ramsey. No, wait, that's the wrong one. At Milton Church of Christ. But I know several people, I'm surprised at how many folks do listen to those podcasts. Even sometimes people who are here go back and listen to those. I don't think it gets better the second time, but maybe it doesn't get any worse. You can fast forward. That's a great thing. Steve, maybe you don't wish he was here last Sunday night. Your name was taken in vain, brother. I think something we learn as we look at the discussion of deacons, and Paul will write to Timothy. Paul will write to Timothy and Titus concerning overseers, elders, shepherds. And in that same discourse in his writing to the young minister Timothy, he'll talk about deacons. And what Carl read from us from Acts chapter 6 is what many of us believe to be kind of the first instance where we have deacons appointed. If we look at those qualifications, Carl, one of the qualifications is not to have an easy pronounced name. That's not a qualification to serve in the role of deacon. What I want to talk about elders and deacons for just a moment, because kind of in our modern times, I'm not sure we've quite understood what all deacons were to do. In fact, I can remember when the joke kind of was, you know, the deacons sat in the office and they rang the bell at 5 till and then rang bell on the hour, and they picked up the attendance from the doors of the classrooms. And you know, so if you were doing those things, you were a deacon in training. It was kind of said tongue in cheek, but we kind of saw deacons, they met at 3 o'clock every third Sunday of the month and kind of did those things, and there wasn't a lot of other responsibility with it, or at least it wasn't evident. And so we've kind of seen a change in the last 15 years or so to deacons being ministry leaders, and not just having a group of deacons that, you know, well, you're deacons, you do everything, but then the deacons were kind of divided into, each deacon had a ministry, where they were leading a ministry. And now we're even beginning to see where deacons are doing visitations, that they're responsible for groups of people, and they're visiting the hospital and helping to coordinate food needs and all those kind of things. When we look at the scripture, it's important to realize that being a deacon was an important office in the church. The role was different than that of elders, but it was important. And it wasn't just a training ground for elders, although it is a place where people grow, and very often elders come from deacons, but it's not a requirement. I've known men who served as elders who never served as deacons and did a great job, but men who are great deacons whose calling was never to be in the eldership. But deacons have a responsibility, and we're going to look at the qualifications, but I want to realize that these deacons were expected to make decisions and to make good decisions, to be in positions of responsibility where they oversaw things, they saw that things happened, that they cared for people, and that they were servants in the church, but they were expected to make decisions and to follow through, and not only to care about physical things, but to be men of spiritual character as well. It is an important role. Now, the elders' role, that of shepherds, is to make sure that the flock is protected and fed, to pray over the flock, to care for those needs, and that's a very important role, because we see in Acts 6, this was not the eldership, but the apostles who were in the Jerusalem church, and is the need now to deal with an important and kind of controversial area. The feeding of the widows. We've got to discern. You pick some men that will see that this happens, that these widows are cared for, because why? The apostles said this is important, not that it's beneath us, but our role is to be about prayer and about teaching the word. And so we need men who will take this other important role and will do it in a way that everybody is comfortable that it's being done well, that they are respected, and people trust their judgment and their character. And so those men who serve as deacons are to have character and judgment that people respect. And so let's kind of look at what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. After he has written to Timothy about elders, he said, "Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect." I want to stop there for just a second because that is critical. Men who are worthy of respect, that the community and the congregation respect those men, and they have earned it. They've earned it. We studied in organizational theory and even in some speech classes about authority. How do you get authority? How do you get respect? Well, sometimes your position, your job, your role just gives you a certain amount of authority. But the people who are really effective get an authority, get a respect because they've earned it. It's not just positional. It is because people believe in them and their vision and in their character, and they respect them. You see it certainly in times of war in the military, where obviously a person's rank gives them the authority to give orders. But there are those who, their men are so committed to them, have such respect for them, that with enthusiasm and force, they follow those orders. It's not just, "I'm giving this order, I'm going to do it." It's, "I'll follow this general, this colonel, this lieutenant, whoever it is, because of their character and who they are, I'll follow them wherever they lead." And deacons are to be men who have earned respect. And not everybody gets respect. One of my favorite movies, McClintock. If you'll remember, the sheriff comes in and calls McClintock, "Mr. McClintock." And he calls the agent who's selling the land, he calls him Douglas. And one of the great quotes, Douglas questioned, he said, "You called him Mr. and you just called me Douglas." And he says, "Douglas, he's earned it." There's a difference. He called him Mr. not because he feared him, but because he had a respect for him. And that is earned. And as Paul writes to Timothy, those who are serving in deacons, because it is an important role, it's important. They ought to be men, they must be men who are respected, who have earned it. Not that they're going to get this office and they're going to get respect because it comes with the office. Before they serve, they are men who have earned respect. That they are sincere. I almost leave that back to number one. When you know people, if they're not sincere, you don't respect them. And you can figure that out pretty quickly, can't you? But men who are going to serve in deacons are sincere. Sincere in their desire to serve, and certainly sincere in their faith. In their following of Jesus, there is a sincerity. That it is important to them and they are committed to the cause of Christ in a genuine and sincere way. Not indulging in much wine. They are men who are sober. Sober in their judgment, and sober in their lifestyle. We live in a time today where there is just a lot to be addicted to. There is just a lot out there to be addicted to. And there are now synthetic drugs that apparently get a hold of you in a very, very powerful way. I know there's a new synthetic heroin that's on the market today that's changing our world again. Just like crack changed our world not too long ago. It was a drug that was very cheap and very addictive, and it has changed our society. And if you've ever known those folks who were addicted to it, you know, you just can almost watch their life drain away from them. And the addiction of alcohol, and today I would throw in the addiction to pornography, those things. That a man who's going to serve as a deacon has his life under control. That God has worked in his life, that is not addicted to those drugs or pornography or to alcohol, is sober. I personally am a teetotaler. I always have been. But the passage says not addicted to much wine, but I think always as we serve that we are examples. And so I'm always careful, and I think those who lead, we should always be careful of our example, because what might not bother us might bother others, and I'm always careful with that. But a person who's going to serve as deacon has to be sober in their lifestyle and in their judgment and not addicted to those things around us that become addictive and are in control of those. And my recommendation to all of us, and I know you may disagree with that, and this really comes to my opinion, I just try to stay away from those things. And the deal is not because I think I'm strong, it's because I think I'm not. Because sometimes thinking you're too strong gets you. I try to stay away from things as that, you know, I don't like snakes. So I don't get close because I don't want to get bit, right? Well, I try to stay away from those things that might bite me back. And if food is any indication of my ability at self-control, I'm better off to leave those things alone. And he's not here. I worry about Houston. Not Houston, from the time he could get a sippy cup, that rascal can down a sippy cup without breathing. And he, at this moment, when he gets something to drink, he's just drinking. And while you're telling him, son, you're not going to get another one, you just need to nurse that Coke along during your meal because you can't have another one, he's nodding his head as it just gulps down. So I've told him, I said, son, don't ever get on alcohol or you'll never draw a sober breath because you can't, you know, you just drink. So, you know, we have those things and we make fun of them. And in the end, we can make light. We're all family. But part of the qualifications is to be sober, to have our lives under control, not to be controlled by other things. The standards are high to serve in the kingdom of God. I just want to pause and make that. These standards are high. Now, do we expect people to be perfect, whether they be elders or deacons? No. We know they're not. But there is no apology that the standards are high, and they ought to be goals that we all strive for in our lives, to have our lives conform to what God would have us to be. And they are high standards for our lives. Here's one that I think I see a lot among people who at least attend the assemblies. And it's not pursuing dishonest gain. It embarrasses me about as much as anything for there to be members of our congregations who are notorious for their lack of integrity in pursuing business and profit. I find it to be a great embarrassment when you stand around and stories continue to roll, and I'll be honest with you, names come to my mind, none from this congregation, but from the greater Middle Tennessee area, people who are probably in the assemblies this morning who are notorious for not being honest in doing business. Almost, if you know you do business with them, you're going to probably come out on the short end of the stick. And Paul writes to Timothy, those who serve as deacons do not pursue dishonest gain. Now, we're talking about shrewd business people. That's not what he's talking about. I'm talking about somebody that in their dealing is dishonest or profits in a trade that lacks integrity or honesty. There's something that they might not actually cheat somebody, but their gain is an area that is dishonest. There was, in the political arena, this was decades ago, that there was a sheriff that really almost had two sets of deputies. One would direct traffic for the largest churches in the towns on Sunday morning and would be out at all the events. And then there was another group that they knew who the bad guys were, and they were almost just taking profit to let them keep going. He wound up being indicted and going to prison several years ago. But it's that looking one way and being another, being involved in dishonest gain. Those who are going to serve as leaders in God's church, and for all of us for sure, that we're not involved in seeking dishonest gain. When I think of that, I just have to tell you an aside to this. Years and years ago, I went to Madison Church of Christ on Sunday night, and their Sunday night service was filming the Amazing Grace Bible class for that would air the next Sunday morning. And Brother Ira North had his red coat on, and you had to know that Brother Ira always knew where the camera was. Always. And I will never forget, he stood there with that Bible, and he talked about ill-gotten gain and not seeking ill-gotten booty. And I thought that was a strange way to word that. I hadn't heard that since the old pirate movies. But he talked about ill-gotten gain. It was a great sermon. But I remember the clock being there under the camera as that was all timed. And Brother Ira spoke about ill-gotten gain. It ought to not be something that we are about. And then he closed with Nick Boone, Nick Boone. Lead us in that beautiful, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. If you will remember those broadcasts that came on, I believe, Channel 2 on Sunday mornings. And Nick would lead singing, and it was a great time. But I still remember that sermon, not seeking ill-gotten gain. Those who are going to serve have to be honest in their dealings with others and their seeking of profit and doing a business. Verse 10, they must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Typically, we see that very often, and certainly not always, there's no, that deacons sometimes will be younger men than those who serve as elders, but not necessarily. There's certainly not an older age limit, but there certainly needs to be a place for maturity, because again, these men are to be respected to make decisions. But it's not a place where you put somebody who hasn't proven themselves and say they'll grow into it. Now, let me be very clear. We're all growing into responsibility, right? We all do. We mature into our jobs, and there's a place for that. But sometimes we say, well, this person's not really what they ought to be, but if we thrust this on them, they'll grow into it. Sometimes that happens, and sometimes they're overwhelmed. But what Paul writes to Timothy is that those who are going to serve as deacons are individuals who have already been tested and proven. Now, what do I mean by that? No, we don't give them a written exam, and there's not, you know, physical training. But men who have shown the propensity to be in the service of God's business, that they've shown a growing in maturity and seriousness, the ability to make good decisions, to care about others, to be involved in the work of God's church. And when they have been tested, when they have been seen to do that and to be able to handle the situations at home, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, within the church, within the community, then they're ready to serve as deacons. You know, all of us remember a time when we were very young when we could handle about anything that was coming. And then you reach an age where you almost look back and get scared about the things you thought you could handle that you were not at all equipped to handle, but somehow you kind of got through or you fumbled. And then hopefully we reach an age where you think, well, there's a lot I can't, but I think I've reached a maturity to know not to handle some things and get help, and maybe to have experienced enough to be able to make better decisions about other things. And those who serve as deacons need to be those who have lived and worked and experienced enough to have developed a maturity and a testing of who they are and of their character. Then verse 11, we're going to come back in verse 12 back to deacons. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul will talk about the wives of deacons or about women in general. And I think this is important because for all of us in our marriage relationships, our spouses are of extreme importance. I mean, absolutely of extreme importance. And as we talk about marriage, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount and the weeks that are ahead, and speaking to our young people, you can't overemphasize the importance of the choice of who you marry, because it is certainly going to make a difference on the whole rest of your life, for good or for not. And hopefully it is for good, because that relationship is important. And if you're in a marriage that is at all appropriate, the person that we are married to, they help us in our decisions, they encourage us, they help keep us out of trouble, they correct us when we need it. They're the person who will talk honestly to us and give us feedback and help us. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's the person who's with you, that if they're pulling with you, the load is lighter. If they're pulling against you, the load is heavier. You know, they're the person that in the morning when it's time to go to church or go to work, if they say, oh, let's just lay in the bed today, it's easier to say, oh, I believe I might just lay in the bed today. But if that person says, oh, I know, we'll try to rest it. We got to get up and be about our responsibilities. All those things help, don't they? Now, I had a college roommate, and I think he married a good woman because he's done pretty well in his careers. Because when I lived with him, I don't think he would have made class if I hadn't gotten him up every morning. He's the only man I ever knew that would stare at a blank television screen. I'm talking about the TV wasn't turned on, and eat frozen M&Ms and just stare at the screen. I'd say, get up, you know, you got to get to class. You got to get there. And he needed someone to help encourage him. He's done super great. He's a great guy, but he was not a mornings guy. So when it came time to schedule, I would always remind him, do not schedule a 7 o'clock class. That will be a waste of your money and your effort. Because even if you physically attend, you will mentally not be there. But you need somebody to encourage you. Those are just small things. But if the work of God is important to our spouse, it helps encourage us. If it's not, and I'm not talking about our spouse being a bad person, but if they're not serious about their faith, it affects us all. So it is an important decision. So here's what the Apostle Paul says. Their wives are to be women worthy of respect. That a deacon's wife, and I think as well as an elder's wife, that they are to be women worthy of respect. The same discussion that we had of deacons themselves. Of people who live their lives in a way that others respect them because of their integrity, because of their character, because of their maturity, that they are women who are respected. They're not malicious talkers. You know, for a male minister, it's really hard to discuss some of these issues. It will probably get you into trouble. But for all of us, are we careful in our conversation? In our discussions. You know, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul talks about the caring for widows. There's an age that he discusses and says those women who are younger should be busy doing things. Because if you don't, you become what? The NIV translates it as a busybody. You become a busybody if you don't have enough things to do. You know, if these widows who are younger, the church just takes care of all their needs, then they just have time to be busybodies. And so what Paul is saying, and under the assumption that the men were probably working, and hopefully so, that women should not be malicious talkers, shouldn't be gossips, shouldn't talk about others, should be mature in their conversation. And that's more, you know, in today's social media, for all of us, it's really important what we say. I think the only thing that's really different is people used to say it, but it was just over the phone, and now it's written down on the computer, and more people see it. But there's just some comments we ought not make, right? Some things we ought not say. Some things we ought not share openly. We wouldn't. There are conversations we have privately And I think it's important for elders, for deacons, for their wives to handle situations with maturity, that you're able to help and instruct people and that you don't spread that news in an inappropriate way, that you do not break confidences, and that is of extreme importance. That they be temperate and trustworthy. Temperate, moderate, controlled, and trustworthy. Now, Linda, you're in a hurry to start. We don't go in a hurry to finish. I'm going to embarrass you. I saw you pointing at your clock. I'm going to embarrass you right out here in front. We still got a little time. That they be moderate, that they be temperate. It's important how that we live, not only for the men, but for their wives as well. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and manage his children and his household well. We'll talk about this one because marriage is, as I've already mentioned, and has been important. And it is, and it always has been, a struggle. And I don't mean that in a discouraging way, but it's the truth. We have to work on our marriages. We have to work in our families and on our families. And it is just important. It is a God-given union. It is God-designed, and it is important. And in it, there is a struggle. And I'll be honest with you, I believe very much it is a part of the curse from the fall. If you read the conversation that God has with the serpent and with Eve, it's just part of it, that there is strife in our relationships. And so as the Apostle Paul talks to Timothy, he understands that the issue of our marriages is extremely important, and for those who lead, it is important, and how do you deal with that? At the time of the first century Rome, polygamy was not a huge issue. I mean, we see more in the Old Testament, but not such an issue in the New Testament. But they still had struggles in their families. So certainly those who serve in the role of deacon would not be polygamists. That used to not be such a big thing. But now on our quote-unquote reality television, we see that quite a bit now, don't we? A man with multiple wives, and I think there's a show now where women with multiple husbands and man married to multiple sisters. And I've not watched any of those shows, but that has to be interesting in relationship. But Paul would say that those who are going to serve as deacons would be the husband of one wife. And I really think Paul is focusing here on those who had had marital difficulties prior, that had been married and had divorced. And Paul is saying those who are going to serve as deacons, and we know, and we'll talk about this in our Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus talks about divorcement for marital unfaithfulness. He'll talk about it to us in great length in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Matthew will record that for us. But those who have divorced and had remarried, Paul would say that while they have a place in the church, those who are going to serve as deacons will be the husband of one wife, and death separates that relationship, and that those who are going to lead would be those who were married to one wife and had been committed in that relationship. And those are things that really hit us in our society and hit us in the society of the first century. And that the deacon also, like the elder, manages his house or his family and his children and his household well. And why would that be? Well, because if you don't manage things at home well, what's the possibility you're going to manage things away from home well? Like that's Paul's discussion. That part of our training ground is within our families. And so, is our home in disorder? Are our children rebellious? Are we not kind and appropriate in the way that we treat our children? Do we manage our household finances well and our household structure well? Those are all things that are important because as we see deacons, they are responsible for what? Things going on in the Lord's church, right? And not only are they responsible for just carrying out things, but they are responsible for making decisions. And part of that respect part of that training is, do you make good decisions at home? You know, do you make good decisions when it comes to teaching and education and those things? Do you do well at that at home? Or if it's not what you do well, then probably serving as deacon, it's not the time or the appropriate thing that they manage their households well. Then I want to finish with this verse. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance of their faith in Christ Jesus. It is a great thing to serve, but it's not for everybody and not for everybody at every time of life. But I want to say the standards are high because the responsibilities are great. And that's not to be a discouragement that you shouldn't serve. We ought to all strive to be men who can serve in the Lord's church. But all of us have a place. Some to serve as elders, some to serve as deacons. Some of us serve in other ways. All of us are important, and all of us have a place. But deacons, I think, serve a greater role maybe than historically many of us have seen. And some of us may have never gone to a church that had deacons. But I think as we study the Scripture, we realize these requirements are there because these deacons are serving in roles of responsibility. For them to take their faith serious and for them to know the Word. That deacons know the Word, that they're not novices in life and that they're not novices in the study of the Scripture of God. That they are not children that are nursing on milk, that are still drinking milk, but they're on more serious matters of the Scripture. Because I think part of the role of deacons as well, certainly are examples, but to help and instruction as the shepherds lead us. It is important. I'm excited as we move on as a congregation that we want to be prayerful that men are willing and able to serve in that role as we grow together to be of greater service. And I think it's important for all of us to look and say, what's our place? What's our place? Some men, I hope now, will be ready and willing to accept the role of deacons. And there are others who are living life and growing and maturing in service and faith to be able to assume that role and the role of elderships. And there'll be some of us, for whatever reason, may not serve in those roles, but we all have a place. All have a place to serve, to be about God's business. And if we find our place, and Paul talks about if we assume our role in the body, what happens? The body functions well. And if any of us do not take our place, then the body doesn't function as well as it should. And that should be an encouragement for all of us. Let's find our place. And let's be prayerful and supportive of others. And let's make sure that our conversation builds up others and that our work and our lives bring honor to God and to His people. Because whether we are elders or deacons or just members of the family of God, when we don't live lives that are respectable, others see that, don't they? They do. And if we're going to wear the name of Christ and we don't live in a Christ-like way, then it brings reproach on His name. But when we do live, again, none of us are perfect. But when we strive to be sincere in our faith and in our service, what do? We live lives so others see God living in us, and He is glorified. And that's what we want to be about, bringing glory to God as we love our neighbors and as we love God, and we're about serving them. Because God gave His Son in service to us, and God Himself is mindful of each one of us and protects us and cares for us. It's a wonderful thing to be children of God. I don't want us to ever take that for granted as we meet from time to time, week to week, study together, to forget. We have been given the opportunity. We have been called. The way has been made for us to be children of the Almighty God. To be family of God. And to enjoy the inheritance that comes with being children of God. The God who can and will restore things to being perfect, who will share with us eternal life. And Jesus gave His Son, who paid the price for our sin that we might have life. And he calls us then in faith to come to him and to be about his service, living lives in service to him. If for any reason this morning you need to come in a public way, would you do that while we stand and sing?